Page 969, we're looking at question and answer 21 and 22 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It's on page 969. I'll read each of these questions and we can respond together with the answer. Question answer, actually we're looking at 21 and 22, I think I said that, but question answer 21, who is the Redeemer of God's elect? The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. How did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet without sin. Tonight we're looking at Luke chapter 26 through 35, so I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 1. And then we'll also be looking at Luke 2 verses 1 through 21. Before we turn our attention to God's Word, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn our attention to your word, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Now we turn over to Luke 2, beginning with verse 1. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, Rob Bell, in his book Velvet Elvis, asks, what if Jesus had an earthly father named Larry? And then Bell goes on to ask, what if the virgin birth was thrown in just to appeal the followers of Mithra and the Dionysian religious cults? What if the word for virgin referred to a woman who became pregnant the first time she had intercourse? What if the virgin birth was seriously questioned? Could a person still love God? Could you still be a Christian? Is the way of Jesus still the best possible way to live? Now, these provocative and insinuating questions are intended to undermine what God's word clearly tells us. What he clearly explains to us when it comes to Christ's conception and birth. These kind of questions are intended to sow seeds of doubt, and underlying each of these questions is the question, is the virgin birth really essential to Christianity? Do you really need to believe that? Is this miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit something that's foundational for faith? Some would like to believe that it's not. That you can be a Christian or call yourself a Christian without believing that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Some people like the idea of Christianity, but they're embarrassed by the miraculous and the things that are mysterious and unexplainable. They want a diet Christianity or Christianity light. They like the moral stories that tell you how you should live, but like fairy tales or like nursery rhymes, but let's leave out all of that supernatural stuff, and let's leave out that part that seriously calls you to faith, especially when it comes to believing in God's sovereignty and miracles like Jesus being conceived by the Holy Spirit and being born of the Virgin Mary. So the question that we're confronted with is, can you call yourself a Christian without believing that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? Is that fundamental? Shorter Catechism describes Jesus as the only Redeemer of God's elect. Explains how the eternal Son of God became man, how he took on a truly human body, a reasonable soul. He was conceived by the Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary without sin. Now, how important is it to believe that that is true? Well, tonight we professed our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, the basics of Christianity. And we profess that Christ was born as a man, truly God, truly man. And the reason is because this is foundational for the Christian faith. This is the foundation for our salvation. There is a reason that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. God is at work accomplishing our salvation. Herman Bovink, Dutch theologian, explains that the supernatural conception, therefore, is not a matter of indifference without value. It is most intimately tied to the deity of Christ, to his eternal preexistence, his absolute sinlessness, and is therefore of great importance for the faith of the church. That's what we'll be looking at this evening as we first explore the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's our first point. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. In the Apostles' Creed, we profess together that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, the conception by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, it's not only essential to our Christianity, it's not only essential to our Christian faith, but it's foundational to our understanding of man and Christ and our salvation. Look at how the angel explains what's going on. Well, it's Luke explaining, but the angel's the one explaining it to Mary. When you look at verse 26, Luke 1 verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, Luke is telling things from Mary's point of view. But if you look over to Matthew, Matthew approaches the same story, but from Joseph's point of view. And in Matthew, you have Mary pledged to Joseph. And she's described as, or Joseph is described as being the husband of Mary. So being betrothed to someone back in the Bible times was a more serious or a greater commitment than engagement is for us today. Because here you have Mary being described as, well, you have Joseph being described as the husband of Mary when they were betrothed. It was a much bigger deal than our engagements are today. And in Matthew, Matthew tells us the story that even though they never came together, they had no union, they weren't officially married yet, they had never slept together, but Mary's getting bigger. She's pregnant, and Joseph knows, from his perspective, he knows that this is not his child. Joseph is a righteous man, which means that he was careful to obey God's law. He wanted to live an obedient life, and he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, when we hear that in the Gospel of Matthew, we might initially think, Joseph, what in the world were you thinking? But according to the law, he was doing the right thing. From all outward appearances, there seems to have been unfaithfulness on Mary's part. But he also loved her. That's why he wanted to do so quietly. Not make a public spectacle of it. And that's when the angel comes to Joseph and explains to him what's going on. Joseph, it's okay for you to take Mary home as your wife. It is okay because the baby that's growing inside of Mary is from the Holy Spirit. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. We see that being explained here in verse 30. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And then Mary asks the obvious question in verse 34, how's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And because of that, therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Now, Christ being conceived by the Holy Spirit, this is a miracle and it's a mystery, something that is much greater, something that we can't wrap our minds around. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, as eternal God, entered in and was united to human flesh. Now, the reason that the conception by the Holy Spirit is so important is because it addresses the fundamental issue of original sin. What do I mean by that? Well, Adam represented all of us when he disobeyed God, plunging all of humanity into sin. And so the inheritance that nobody wants but everybody gets is being guilty of Adam's sin. So then how can this child conceived in Mary be described as holy? It's because of the Holy Spirit. Christ had to be man, 100% man, truly man, in order to pay the price, in order to suffer the wrath of God in man's place for man's sin. But all the descendants of Adam, all men, are infected and corrupted with this original sin from conception on. We aren't sinners because we commit sins. We sin because we are sinners. Mary had original sin. What keeps her from passing that on to Jesus? He's described as holy because he's conceived by the Holy Spirit. What we have is the line of Adam being interrupted. Hebrews 4 verse 15, we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just like we are, yet without sin. Jesus was like us in every way, just like us as humans, except for sin. And that's why this child who would be born is called holy, the Son of God. We can't forget or underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit at work here. The same Spirit who brought all of creation into existence. The same Spirit who is sanctifying us and eventually glorifying us is the Spirit who came upon Mary. And the power of the Most High overshadowed her. The same Spirit is at work in this conception of Jesus Christ. It's not only that Mary was a virgin, but also the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit at work. Jesus wasn't sinless because he was born of the Virgin Mary. Here we're talking about something that's miraculous. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Zacharias or Sinus, the Holy Ghost miraculously sanctified that which was conceived and produced in the womb of the virgin so that original sin did not attach itself to that which was formed. So there you have the theology of behind the scenes, but what does this mean for you? What does this mean for us? What are we here this evening, Christmas Eve, being called to believe? The miraculous conception of Jesus is essential to our faith because it is part of God accomplishing our salvation. It is part of his work of redemption. God became man. God took on human flesh. Why? In order to accomplish our salvation. Here you have that line of Adam broken as the second Adam is conceived. He is holy. The Son of God, fully man so that he can pay the price for our sin, fully God so that he can withstand the Father's wrath against our sin. So at this point, we can look back at those provocative questions that Rob Bell asked. What if Jesus had an earthly father named Larry? And we can realize how ridiculous it is, how stupid it is to even ask such a question, because our faith is based not on hypothetical questions, but on what God tells us in His Word. He tells us that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. This is foundational for our faith. Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And it's because of that that He is God, the Son of God. It's because of that that He has the power to forgive our sins and give us eternal life. If He was just another human, if He was just another man, then He wouldn't be any different than any other man that's ever existed or been born, and wouldn't be able to accomplish our salvation. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, first of all. And secondly, how will this be since I am a virgin? He's born of the Virgin Mary. Luke here, something I haven't noticed before until preparing for this week. Anytime something is mentioned more than once in Scripture, that's a way of highlighting its importance. And here Luke mentions the fact that Mary is a virgin three different times just in verses 26 through 34. Joseph is betrothed to a virgin. The virgin's name is Mary. And then Mary says, how will this be since I am a virgin? Matthew points out specifically how the fact that Mary is a virgin fulfills that prophecy from Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so we have Mary becoming pregnant without any man being involved. There's no male seed that's passed on to Mary. And so you have a miracle in the fullest sense of the term. It is something that's not natural. It is supernatural, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And it is through Mary that Jesus becomes man, becomes human. He has a truly human body, given a reasonable soul. He has the same human nature that we have, except for sin. So Jesus, as God, second person of the Trinity, eternally existent, has no mother. But Jesus, as a human, has a biological mother, Mary. Now, how was Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? The answer to that question is that it wasn't natural, the natural way that babies are conceived and born. This is supernatural, which it means it's beyond our understanding. And in that way, Deuteronomy 29 verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. And so here's Luke, Dr. Luke even, who doesn't really give us much of a biological explanation because it's supernatural, not natural. Here's the facts. It didn't happen in the usual way by a human father and mother. Instead, conception happened through the work of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. You've got it right in verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Going any further down the road of speculation is going further than what God has made known to us in His Word. But from passages like Hebrews 7, which describe Jesus being made like us, His brothers, in every way except for sin, we know that Jesus was completely human. He had to be so that He could represent humanity when He died in our place. We know that Jesus received His humanity, His flesh, from His earthly mother Mary. So it's not that Mary was just a surrogate mother carrying Jesus. She was actually His biological mother. John Calvin points out that Matthew doesn't describe the virgin as the channel through which Christ flows. She is His mother. And just like sometimes our kids look like their parents, in a similar way, did Jesus look like his mother Mary? Possibly. Does he have Mary's DNA? 23 of her chromosomes? Maybe. But here again, we're going further than what Scripture tells us, and we're trying to understand this in the natural ways that we're familiar with, and this is a supernatural thing that's taking place. But asking these questions, talking about Jesus looking like his mother, that she biologically is his mother, gets us to realize and recognize the fact that he was completely human. So on the one hand, Jesus always existed as God. But on the other, as a man, he has a birthday. There is a point in time when Jesus became human. About 2,024 years ago, give or take a few. That's how long Jesus has had a human body. Now, what does that truth mean for us? What that means, how that benefits us, is that we have one of our own in heaven representing us. Jesus being conceived by the Holy Spirit, God, born of the Virgin Mary, human, means that he is truly God and truly man. And as someone who is truly God and truly man, he is now in heaven representing us, covering us with his righteousness. We were conceived in sin. Original sin. David says it in Psalm 51. Brought forth in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. And this original sin is taken care of by Jesus Christ. So is believing that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary essential to our faith? Well, the prophecy says that the Virgin will be with child and she'll give birth to a son. And here we have the fulfillment of that prophecy. She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Here's the bottom line. If you have a problem with the miracle of Christ's conception and birth, then you're also going to have a problem with his life and his death and his resurrection accomplishing your salvation. And those are also essential to our faith. Once you begin to doubt or deny what God is telling us clearly in his word, then the dominoes begin to fall, then everything else is up for grab. You're either taking God at his word. There is no cherry picking the truths that we like and leaving the ones we don't like. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. And why? Why did all of this take place? Why did God go through this? Why did Jesus become man? He did it for our salvation. The child to be born will be called holy, Son of God. That's our third and our final point. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, the angel tells Mary. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. Now, what does this mean for us? Mary with child, Joseph and Mary giving him the name Jesus, the ultimate point is that he's going to save his people from their sins. The ultimate goal here, the purpose, the reason is our salvation. He's going to save his people from their sins. What are the angels telling the shepherds? Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, what? A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It's good news of great joy because a Savior has been born. That's the good news of great joy. You're going to find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. The good news, the gospel, is that Christ has been born. God has taken on our flesh. He's wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And it's good news because the manger ultimately lies in the shadow of the cross. The reason that this child was born is to save us from our sin. This is what he came to do. And that gets to the root of the problem, our own sin, the ultimate reason that all of these promises find their fulfillment in Christ. He has come to save his people from their sin. This is why God became man, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. To save his people, to save you from your sin. And what that means for us is salvation. Emmanuel, God with us, for our salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Joseph, you're going to have a son. Mary, you're going to give birth to this boy, and you're going to name him Jesus. Why? Because he's going to save his people from their sin. And so on this Christmas Eve, as we reflect on these biblical truths, the truths of Christ's conception and his birth, and what they mean for us, they demand a response of faith. Do you believe this? Do you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you accept, do you believe that he is the one who came to save you from your sins? That you have the complete forgiveness of all your sins in Christ alone. That he has come to set you free. Now to accept the salvation that's found in Christ, to say thank you for what Jesus has done for you in your place, earning perfect righteousness, suffering the death you deserved. To say thank you for that is to also admit your own sin and your own need. That you don't have what it takes to do this on your own. That you need the one who was born in a manger all those years ago. The one who came to do what you could never do for yourself, to save you from your sin. That's the good news of the gospel. That Jesus became man, conceived by the Holy Spirit, fully God, born of the Virgin Mary, fully man, in order to save us from our sin. That's foundational to the Christian faith. That's why we confess our faith together, saying that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because Christ has come to set his people free. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you that Christ became man, became one of us in order to save us from our sin, in order to save us from ourselves. That the second Adam, Jesus Christ, obeyed perfectly where the first Adam failed. He gave his life to pay the price, to endure the judgment that we deserved, so that we could have eternal life in him. Lord, as we celebrate Christmas, help us to remember that the manger lies in the shadow of the cross. This is why Christ has come. And let us celebrate all the more because we recognize our need for Christ. Our desperate need for the salvation that's found in Christ alone. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.